Buy 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic Motor Oil and get a $15 gift card after rebate. Plus 2 times points at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Welcome aboard. You are part of the Palazzo Podcast Experience.
You talk.
Two L's, two Z's.
Give me two.
It's me and Robbie Baseball, and this is our latest edition for our 2025 Fantasy Baseball Dynasty Rankings. You can use it for redraft, too. I mean, we call them Dynasty Rankings, but redraft? You're not included. I'm just, you know, be aware of we're looking at a big picture here today when we look at these rankings. Right, Robbie?
Absolutely, yeah. We're going outside the realm of just the 2025 season, but as we will discuss, there are a lot of factors important to 2025 that will make or break some of these rankings.
That's very true. And the key to second base is what, Robbie?
So I've set it up that the key to second base for me is having a combination for the player to have 40 home runs and stolen bases combined. I don't need all the power from second base because I've got my corner infielders, you got your outfielders, you got other guys. But I do need the speed, so I need to make sure I'm getting a pretty even mix of that up to 40. As 40 as kind of my base for the big guys. And then runs and RBIs. I would love a guy who's getting me 130-plus. There are some guys who can get and have gotten 170-plus. Those are the elite guys. But you want to have that fun mix in all. And I think the real important thing is to make sure you've got a player who can hit all categories for you. So if you're an OBP league, you need a guy who's 330-ish or plus or has that ability. If you're in an average league, you need somebody who's 250 or up. The guys that get in and around that 250, 240 mark, they can be scary. I do have one in my top five who is, well, two, I guess, who are in that. Now that I'm looking, three. I have three guys that are in that range. So I'm banking on some improved performance on the average side. And if you play in points leagues, as I do, as we, you know, you and I are in one together, there's a way in which you can make the magic work of a guy who doesn't hit for a lot of power and is further back in the lineup, but can really help you because they're just not getting out. They're finding a way to produce for you in fantasy. So you want somebody, depending on your league settings, who is at least a 2.85 points per game player. For second base, there's a lot of them. There's a ton. I don't know how deep you went, Mike, with all of your guys, but there are guys.
I go all the way. Yeah, I got 108 guys.
Okay, perfect. There are guys outside of my top 20 who 100% could be cusping top 10 if things go well this year. Three guys I'm looking at specifically, and one that I thought would be, but it just hasn't come together yet because the team around him sucks. So, and I'm sure I'll be able to bring his name up as we go. But what are the keys you're looking for?
Wow, dude.
You said it, buddy. I think the key for me is to find guys that I think stand above the fray. I think there's actually legitimate five-tool guys with five-category production.
Yeah, the complete player.
In this position, second base. I'm already hearing the stories about second base this year. Every year there's these narratives about certain positions, and people say, ooh, second base, it's rough.
No.
It's always rough. But I'm digging through here. I got tons of names, man. There's so much here that I find will meet your standard first off. But for me, you know, I'm a head-to-head Cats guy, so I'm looking for guys who can have big weeks, right, win me weeks, and get hot. I don't necessarily need the volume. Sometimes I need big moments. I need short weeks where they can burst. If they go cold for a week, that's part of the head-to-head Cats lifestyle too, and you really can't control that. So, and you also are kind of looking, I guess, for someone who's consistent and who you know can play a full season because you got to have your guys available for the playoffs. So injury-prone guys are more red flags to me,
yep,
I would say, and more so than other formats, right? Because I need playoff guys. I need my guys there for me when it matters most. And anything could happen. I know head-to-head Cats. You all out there, you're watching this. Palazzo Podcast, 2Ls, 2Zs. Follow us everywhere. Follow Robbie, follow me. Everybody in the Palazzo Galaxy of Stars. You all know that head-to-head Cats is complete crapshoot in the playoffs. Anything can happen. 1 week. It happens in our league, right? You go through our entire season, and then it's over.
You 100% need to build a team that can sustain itself in the playoffs, not just make it to the playoffs. I have had the issue in big leagues of being able to make it to the playoffs, and then my team is kind of petering out. And that can be veterans who get hurt or veterans who are getting saved for the playoffs. Think Scherzer, think Kershaw, those kind of guys on pitching side specifically. But on the second base side, as we get into it today, I'm going to just make an assumption. And if I can't talk about this player, tell me right now. Jonathan India, can I talk about him right now, or is he going to be brought up later?
Go ahead.
Okay. Jonathan India is the perfect roto second baseman in a deeper league because he's not doing anything really well, but he's also not hurting you if you put him in and just leave him there every day he's in. Just enough, but I don't love any of the categories. The smaller the league, the less impact he's going to make, specifically in average leagues. So if it's OBP, he's got a little more, but he's the type of guy that I think a lot of people either think about as like, that's my line. Like, I don't want anybody worse than India. So for me, India is 19th in my rankings. And that's just an indication. Again, trade this year from Cincinnati to KC, whether he's going to be second baseman, how that affects Michael Massey. Is he DH second base? What are they going to do? He is a good major league player who gets a ton of at-bats, but he does not have the production. So you want a better player than him every single year. And for Dynasty, if you're looking to get superstars around him, Jonathan India will fold into your lineup. And he's going to be there in September when you're trying to, you know, make a playoff run. But he will never, in my opinion, be the reason you've won a week. You know, Reynaldo Lopez has won me a championship before the first time he was a starter. And then you get into other guys like Wade Miley who have lost me championships. And I'm so glad Wade Miley is never going to be rostered on any of my teams again. I'll bring up the
hate. Never miss a chance to bring up Wade.
I had to do it. I went with the high guy of Reynaldo Lopez and Kyle Freeland, who saved me, I think it was 2018, 2019. They both had great Septembers. But Jonathan India is on the other end of that. He is Mr. Consistent, but not Mr. Elite.
Sorry about that.
That was insane.
We'll cut that out in post because this isn't live right now. But you're seeing it. Will that part be cut out that I'm saying right now? Is this part right now that I'm saying going to be cut out? Who knows? It's all a mystery. But let's get into it then. So if you've been watching our series here, you know we've done a few different positions: catchers, first base, pitchers, so on and so forth, third base. You know. Oh wait, does this say? I've ruined the show, Robbie.
Wow. Oh, because it says I've ruined the show. Catchers. Let me cover that up here. I'll just reach up with my hand, cover that up.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny, man. Oh, I love our life here. We have a lot of fun. I actually made a graphic before the show, but I just didn't upload it.
Oh, okay.
Anyways,
that's okay.
Let's just is it okay?
Of course
it's okay. Live in shame on this one?
And if anyone's found us,
yay!
There we go. Boom.
It's fixed, see? Woo!
If anyone has found us, this is the first time you're listening and you're this far into it and you're still waiting for the names patiently. Also, click subscribe for us because we are on the march to 1,000. I know, you know, Mike, you say it all the time, so I'll give you a break off this one. We get to 1,000, life gets better for you. Life gets better for us. We want to be able to get to that point so that we can do a wider variety of things, which once we get there, YouTube will allow us. Obviously, we thank everybody listening on the podcast right now. I heard, I think it was Mike VA came up with an excellent thing the other night where he said, grab your spouse's phone, your parents' phone, your roommate's phone, and make sure that they're subscribed too, because we don't need them to listen because you are, and so many other people who are not subscribed listen, but we do want to get the subscription numbers up. And that's the important thing here. And we're giving you all this. I spent just today, this is what, the third or fourth time we've scheduled this recording. Just today, I spent 2.5 hours restructuring things, reevaluating, simply because the landscape changes with a signing here or a DFA there, because it's Dynasty. And like we discussed, the lists are so deep. Although we're only scratching the surface, when we get to 1,000, I am open to having some long form live streams where we can get into the 50th best guy and how they can jump into the top 20 within 18 months.
Ooh.
So you got us to 1,000 and you let me know that that's what you want. I'm happy to do it.
All right. Now we're talking. I can get deep in there. Start talking about Well, I don't want to spoil it. So let's get into it. Let's crap here.
Start talking let's about.
I was thinking about somebody for a second. Oh, I was thinking about you. You talked about DFAs and signings. Brandon Drury got signed by the White Sox the other day. So then I added him into my. I had to. It's not like he's cracking the top 10, but I still had to account for it. So let's get into it. Robbie, we've been doing our 10 to 6. And then we rotate, and then we get into our top five, and then we have some other questions about our rankings afterwards. If you guys have been following along, it's a similar situation and profile to the other show. So go ahead, Rob. Take it away.
All right. So at 10, I'm immediately taking the cheat that some of the other people have done, and I've got two guys at 10. Now, they are both Cleveland Guardians. I've got Juan Brito, former Colorado prospect, traded for Nolan Jones a few years back, and Travis Bezzana, the 1-1 in last year's MLB draft, first overall pick. Brito, 20 home run potential, 10 stolen base potential, 160 potential combined RBIs and runs. That's kind of like the peak of what he could do. He could also be a major thorn in the side of Bezzana coming up, which is why he is mentioned here for me. And they are a 1-2 because if Brito takes off, then Bezzana can develop slower. If not, the need might be there. I can get into details on the rest of the guys when we circle back. I've got Jackson Holliday at number 9. I don't care what you think. That is a high ranking for this guy. Number 8, Marcus Semien. Number 7, Haesung Kim of the Dodgers. And my number 6 is Ketel Marte of Arizona.
Yeah, the new Haesung Kim in your tops. Wow.
Yeah.
You like him?
I like him very much. Have you seen what he's done? And have you looked at the lineup he's in? So
I'm definitely aware of the lineup.
26 years old, right?
Yep.
He should be a mix between a Bryson Stott, and a Jonathan India-like player. So 250 average, although like he has been elite overseas. So we will assume that that's obviously dropping down. He could easily be a 60-run, 50 RBI guy. It is entirely possible because we
look, he crushed.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a great page to throw up. The nothing.
It also reminds me of a Tecmo Super Bowl when a guy didn't allow his rights to his name to be used. So he had to be like quarterback Bills, yes, like Jim Kelly or Randall Cunningham, quarterback Eagles. That's what it reminds me of.
He could be. So last year was as high as a pro as 11 home runs in MPB. So let's just say there's going to be 5 to 10. Like, I don't care about that, but it's the stolen bases. He could be an absolute X factor in stolen base categories, which, as I mentioned before, you want to strive for somebody that could get you 40 plus. So he has the ability to steal 35 bases in professional baseball. Whether the Dodgers say we're going to really go in on that or we're going to, you know, have you be more conservative, I'm sure there's 20 there. So if there's 10 home runs this year and 20 stolen bases, he's not meeting my 40 that we want, but he's got the upside on average that I really think is interesting. He's also on an elite team, which I cannot say enough about how positive that impacts the ranking, that he is there with the Dodgers. They have cleared room for him to start at second base. He will essentially have the job to lose, not try to earn the job, which I think is a good thing. And playing this year at 26, he's on this is something else that Mike VA mentioned the other night on the recording that really stuck with me. He talked about, and he just said it in passing, he talked about a player being on his back nine. Kim is on his front nine as far as, you know, using golf terminology, where he is in his career. He is starting out early. However, he has 6 professional years of baseball underneath him. So he is going to understand a lot of the ins and outs of being a professional. I know we've seen guys flop in the past, and we've seen Haesung Kim, too close in name, Haesung Kim,
yes,
who has also come in and then had a big adjustment period. But look at the batting average the last 4 years, right? And all with over 500 at-bats. I get it. It's KBO, guys. I get it. But that doesn't mean he can't come in and still hit for contact. And look at the OBP. Excellent, elite, whatever you want to say about it. I just think that he's going to be underrated. And of course, this could be less production than you want in runs and RBIs, but he's also on the Dodgers that could pump it up. He's 7th, not 1st. And I have Semien at 8th. I don't think Semien has the ability as a home run hitter to continue to age out as well as he has to this point in time. I also gave up on him, I think, 5-6 years ago. I remember on Dinger's Tie and I were like, get rid of this bum. Like, he's peaked. Only for him to just have the best part of his career since then. So getting off Kim onto Simeon, and then Jackson Holliday. I mean, I'm sure you've got him higher than I do. I just don't care. And Travis Bazan is honestly one of, if not the most complete player at second base. Of course, he needs to now step up and do it as a pro, but he's got the ability to hit some home runs. Of course, he can run around the base as well. So he can get runs, he can get RBIs. It's lineup dependent, of course, but the average is going to be there. OBP should be there. Let's see what he does as a pro. I love the 10 through 6 to me. And then Ketel Marte, best power hitting second baseman. Yep. Top RBI guy. Yep. 90 plus runs the last two seasons and elite OBP. Yeah. So why is he sixth? He should age out, but he just doesn't do anything that I think will consistently allow him to be better than the five guys in front.
So, five guys?
Yeah, because I've got my one through five that are in front. He's sixth.
Oh, five guys. Not French fries? Not very good.
I don't think that's in Canada. It might be. I don't know.
What? There is a, oh, there's total. Well, there's a five guys in Windsor for sure. I guarantee that.
Well, there isn't.
That's an American chain maybe, but.
There isn't around me here in the snow, so.
Yeah, you guys don't know, Robbie lives in Hoth. You know, you've seen Star Wars? That he lives on that ice planet. So.
I did escape my basement for this one, so I was told that I'm going to be a little echoey. I apologize. I'll be back in the basement for the next one. So
Most people are like, what? But I recognize it because I'm anal about that stuff.
So, Mike, who do you have 10 through 6 for yourself?
Well, man, last time we did a show together, I got... Sink 31. That's where are right. you? Are oh, you coming man. For me again?
I want to see that guy. I want to see that guy.
I know. He came so... He or she or whoever it is came hard at us. Maybe it's a bot. I don't know. Maybe it was a bot. But came so hard at us, Sink 31. We want the criticism. Come back. We're not afraid of it. We welcome that engagement. So don't just disappear unless you think we're so stupid that you can't even deal with us. That's understandable. But for me... all right. Well, here we go. So, Jordan Westberg, is he a second baseman?
Sure. He can be until he's not, right? There's a ton of other positions for these guys, too. I guess I could have mentioned that. Holliday could also be shortstop eligible. Sure.
Of course. So, if Jordan Westberg is a second baseman, I ranked him in here. He's at 10, okay? And then at 9, I went with Thomas Sagisi of St. Louis.
Okay.
I'm a big fan. I'm a fan of his work. I think there's a lot more potential to come within that bat. Maybe we'll get more of that this year. Then I have Bazana, the guy you mentioned. Yep. We all know the story there. And then after him, I have Holliday. So I'm like you. He's not my top five. So I can't, it's kind of strange. We're kind of similar here. And then it's Ketel Marte after him. Okay, so
great.
Westberg, Sagisi, Bazana, Holliday. Look if you see me on a holiday. Get up, kids. Some classic emo there. And then Jackson Holliday and Ketel Marte. That's my 10 through 6, Robbie, and it's real simple. I don't like Ketel Marte, but I have to rank him there. So
yeah, that's exactly what it is for me because he's had different – like he's never been a big stolen base guy. Everybody, I think, was like, oh, there are categories that will pick up for him. At second base, I put more weight into stolen bases knowing that – five category contributor is important. Now, of course, if you're in an 8x8, you want to see whatever your categories are. You want to see them maybe not strike out. You want to see those other things. But Marte just does things well. And now the Diamondbacks are good and competitive, so it's helping him. On a crappy team, of course, it's harder to compete. So lots of
like, I just feel like there's no way he does this year.
Yeah,
I feel like
it's a lot.
He still, let's say he hits 30 home runs or 29 home runs, that's still great. So.
Yeah, and the WXOBA 402, I mean, that's, yeah. You got a lot of those stats that just make it look like he is elite, but then you have to...
Don't forget this one.
The IPA?
Ideal plate appearance.
Well, yeah.
I don't know anything about that percentage at all.
No, I don't. What the hell does that mean? You're coming up with zero or one outs, and you have a runner in scoring position? Is that
hey, pitcher list? You got good graphics, but we don't. Yeah, they're always trying to come up with new stats.
Yeah,
I never wanted to be the guy who came up with the next cool stat. There's so many stats I'm happy with, so I'm fine.
I do. I saw a Twitter conversation, not to date this at all, but it was recent where my eyes were drawn towards a stat guy who looks at where players are within the batter's box and how they do. And Vinny P commented to him that hey, do you have this data? Like, I'm curious, like, because he said, oh, like, you know, you were better in the second half. You changed your approach. You were, I think, closer to the pitcher and further from the plate or something like that. That part's, that's what it was, whether it was one or the other. But it was interesting. And I guess it's not, it's data you can collect by just doing the work yourself as an individual. And I thought, oh, that's a neat one. But that's something that if I was a major leaguer, I would care about, as Vinny P did, not if I was a fantasy baseball guy. Oh, he's standing closer to the plate because, you know, that's up to them every time they come up. That's not the results of their at-bat. That's, you know, in preparation for an at-bat. So anyway, that's not the most exciting thing. What is exciting is my top five. I just want to time. I don't know if the timestamps are going to be messed up because we started late, but I'm still stamping it for us.
You're fired.
At number five, I have the Phillies' Bryson Stott. At four, I have Luis Garcia Jr. Of Washington. At three, I've got the most polarizing player in Britton Allen's head right now, Jazz Chisholm Jr. It's my number three. At number two, tried and true, Jose Altuve. I did not want to rank him this high. And at number one, I'm shooting to the moon, Matt McClain. Matt McClain, everybody, is my number one second baseman. And it's interesting that Gavin Lux is there now. We can have that conversation if it suits. But that is my five through one. At one, McClain, two, Altuve, three, Jazz Chisholm Jr., four, Luis Garcia Jr., and five, the Phillies' Bryson Stott.
Okay.
Let's let that absorb
in. I wasn't sure. So Jazz is going to play second base exclusively this year now that Gleyber's
gone? Okay. So my report here on Jazz is he's been too good and Houston isn't clearing out. Oh, sorry. That's Altuve. He's the most explosive player at second base, assuming he does, in fact, start there, right? Because that's all the hype this offseason that he's moving from third over to second. Now, next year, he's a free agent. So we don't know where he's going to play, let alone what position, right? We don't know the city, let alone the position. He'll be second base for 25, we're assuming, but will he be for 26? Well, if he is in 25 and he carries over, yes. But beyond that, I don't know. I just think that within the Yankees setup right now, in the top five of that order, Jazz should settle right into that. This could be an excellent environment for him. Now, if he likes it and takes off, you know, like signs an extension with them, great. But we don't know that that's going to happen. So let's not bank on things we haven't seen before. Let's just assume he's going to be perfectly fine. The stolen bases are a major factor for his success. Yes, I think it was 25 bombs last year, 40 stolen bases. That puts him at the 65 when I was talking about looking for a guy that combines for 40. Obviously, he's way better or was way better than that last year. What are we going to see this year? Health has always been a big thing. But I'm choosing to bank on the fact that beyond multi-position eligibility, which he's excellent for you this year, Chisholm will be a very good major league player for several years beyond. So, and I have heard on the point from my fourth guy, Luis Garcia Jr., everybody's very excited about the potential for him. If he's not on your list, then I can discuss him afterwards. I'll find a way to fit him in. But McClain, to me, I don't know. I want to hear your guys. I want to hear your guys before I explain my guys. Who you got?
Well, I have to admit, I didn't put Jazz in the rankings, but now you made it very clear to me that he has to be in the rankings.
But I skirted the rule. He has no 2B eligibility. It's just an assumption. So that's also why I should have said that before. I've got two guys at 10 because I think one of them is going to take the job from the other. I did have Connor Norby as my 11, but that's just cheating because he's the third baseman and that's where I put him. So I'll say
I am too.
If I continue to back up to give you 10 legitimate second basemen, my 12th ranked guy is Ozzie Albies. So I've got Albies as a second baseman. I've got the combo of Rito, Bazana. So pick one of those names. I've got Holiday, Simeon, Kim, Marte, Stott, Garcia Jr., Jazz, who doesn't technically belong there, but that's what the rumor mill got me to do is put him here. And I already talked about him at third base, so we can have that. Go and listen to that one. I've got Altuve and I've got McClain.
Okay. Yeah. And
so don't say you haven't done anything wrong. He's not eligible there. I'm just assuming that that is where they're putting him because that's all that we've heard. So once spring training starts and he goes to second base, this will all be a mute point.
All right. So here's what I'm doing. This is a live update here. I had Sidane Raffaele in here because he's second base eligible. He's on Yahoo. He's definitely second base eligible.
Well, of course.
But he's not going to play second base this year. So, so I just moved him, and I'm putting Jazz Chisholm in his place. I'm going to join you. It makes sense to me. It does. I don't like Jazz. I think he's an injury nightmare, but everything is lining up for him to have a great year, and he's still young enough, and he does have the talent. So he will start as my number five, Jazz Chisholm, okay. Number five. That's where Sadane was for me. And then number four is Jose Altuve, classic, you know, never gets old. He's still good. Number three is Mookie Betts.
Oh. Yeah, so I guess I'm a contradiction because I put Jazz, who has no eligibility, and I didn't even put Betts. I just put Betts under my shortstop / outfield, which has yet
to be. I think we should fine tune this to like, hey, these are guys that are, their future lies at that position only. I think that matters. I think maybe we should have that be like our focus going forward.
I think Ben and I discussed that in one of ours that he and I recorded together where we were and I think it was third base, where we were discussing not really knowing the future. So we just backed up as I had done to say like, here are 12 guys because only 10 of them are technically, you know. But again, second base is sometimes where the failed infielder ends up, whether they're a shortstop with not a good enough arm, third baseman, not a good enough arm, overcrowded infielder, whatever it is, they end up at second base. You know, cause I had Luis Ariz, or I have him technically on my list, but he's a first baseman, right? Although he has played second base, he's a first baseman and he's lining up as well to play first base for San Diego this year. And he's obviously, he wasn't in my top 10. I would have mentioned him. I love the guy. I just, there isn't production, but he is not really a second baseman. So if we have one of these guys, like you've got, you had Rafael in there, you just back up one more, right? The true position guys, that all can change with an ankle tweaked, right? Because anybody can run over to second base. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that in an insulting way to the defense. I mean that like you can just more easily move someone from third or short to second for 20 games where they would have carryover eligibility. Then you could realistically throw Vlad at third base for 20 and not just cross your fingers. The ball doesn't get hit to him. So, okay. But anyway, all right.
Fair enough. All right. So
just reset, reset five down.
Okay. So started with Jazz Chisholm, Jose Altuve. And I realized I did what I did last time. I'm named the lemon guys now because there's three more guys after Mookie Betts.
Okay.
I'm an idiot. Whatever. So I screwed up again. I did that on the other show, guys. So at least I'm consistent. That's in that true. Realm.
I think
so,
31 is going to be all over you.
Hit me. Come on, Sing. Come for me. Hit me with all you got. Both barrels, baby. Let's go.
Wow.
My top three are number three, David Hamilton.
Oh, my God.
Number two, Luis Garcia Jr.
I knew that was coming.
And number one, Matt McClain.
Oh, good, good. I feel great about that. Okay, thank you.
I can't believe we both have the same guy. That's strange.
Okay, so Matt McClain, we agree. Like, Gavin Lux addition aside, Matt McClain is going to get every day at bats, and maybe they will DH, you know, whatever. They'll find just, you know, he plays all the time. That's Matt McClain. Depending on where he is in the lineup, 100 runs should be obvious. It's the RBIs. That's going to be the big sink or swim for him. And then he should safely be able to be in that 40 combo of home runs and stolen bases. It really depends on how aggressive the Reds are going to be with base paths this year. And then Gavin Lux as well. What are they going to do with him? Is he just on the bench like you are a bench player? Or is it do your very best to earn at bats? And Matt can move into DH if you're playing well and vice versa, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Lux, he's not the guy everyone wanted him to be. I think that's done.
Yeah.
I really do. But he could still have a year if he got the opportunities, I suppose. And this ballpark is more friendly to hitters, his home ballpark in Cincinnati, the Queen City. But I look around and TJ Friedl plays center field. If you're thinking, well, maybe Lux plays some center. No. Yeah, I guess. But TJ Friedl's set in his ways there. But the problem is TJ Friedl's also very injury prone. He really is. So maybe there's an opportunity that opens up in center. Maybe, you know, Austin Hayes got signed. Do we trust him to be a guy they rely on? I don't know. I think Lux could play some left field. So I think McClain's locked in. He's a cornerstone hitter. And you don't have your guy who's going to be like your second or third hitter. He's not going to be a guy who's batting every other day. I just don't see that. Matt McClain's an everyday player. And I don't care what Lux has in store for the Reds this season. I don't think he impacts that. The only question is there any worries about that shoulder after coming off a major injury like that?
Well, and even Will Benson, I just had to quickly look up. I couldn't remember his name. Like,
I love
like,
Will
who
Benson.
Had the good 23? It was Will Benson had a good 23 and then just could not get it going last year. 343 at-bats.
He declined, no, it was terrible.
In all facets. But you know what? Even with that decline, he still had 14 home runs, 16 stolen bases, but it was with a disgusting 187 average and an OBP sub 275. So depending on your formats, for fantasy, Will Benson needs to be in consideration to block at-bats more so than to free them up, because, of course, he should be better, but we don't know how much better. But that's all part of that pie in Cincinnati. It shouldn't affect McLean. So you and I both have Altuve top five. Houston just isn't emptying out, you know, the cabinets, so he's still going to be there. He's really good at getting runs, of course. Where were we here? Could be the top run guy at second base, him or Simeon. 60 plus RBIs in addition to the high guy on average at the position, and right in the production sweet spot with a combined 40 home runs, stolen bases the next 3 years, and maybe more, because he could age out very well like a Freddie Freeman. He will enter this year at 35. He is, of course, on his back nine, whereas all of the other top five guys are on their front nine, as I kind of explained with career ahead before. So Luis Garcia Jr. will either be the embarrassment of every fantasy baseball analyst or their joy this year. So you've got him two spots higher. I can tell you what I see, and you can tell me what you see, but why don't you go first?
Well, I talked about him on the Friday show we just did recently, the Palazzo Podcast. Who else?
Utah. Disease. Give me two.
And I just love his profile. I think this is a guy who makes contact. He can hit for average. He can drive in runs. He's starting to steal more bases. He showed more ability once the rule changes came into play that he could be a 20 steal guy. Mm-hmm. So a 2020 guy at his base, still only 24 years old.
Yes, will play the Nats year lineup as 25-year-old, right? Just perfect.
Yeah, perfect. And so he's had a lot of experience. He's been in the majors. He came up during the COVID year in 2020.
Yeah.
So he's been playing this whole decade at the major leagues for give or take, you know, depending on how many at-bats he got certain seasons. But I just see a guy here who's ascending into a perfect situation with the lineup that is starting to coalesce and gel. You know, you and I both love Nathaniel Lowe addition, bringing him into the fold from Texas. So this is all good news for him. The only concern people seem to have is that he might sit more against lefties. And
well, you guys did address that, so everybody go back and listen to that. I think that has more to do with playing manager than it does playing baseball. You know, sometimes you just got to put the guy in to do it. And Garcia, Garcia is fully vetted now as an MLB-er. Second base is his thing. He should very safely get that combined 40 home run stolen bases. We'll see how his body develops as far as if he becomes a power type hitter where you can bank on 15 plus, or if he's just going to run into some fastballs that he sends over. But to me, this is very much like my, I guess, aggressive ranking on Hyesung Kim. They're in lineups that I think are going to do good things. Cincinnati is also a team that has that ability. Now, whether they do it year in and year out, we don't know. McLean was part of Cincinnati on the rise in 23 and then, of course, was injured. So I think that that's the same situation for Garcia Jr. He's part of a team that's going to be better and will continue to be better. Now, I think because he came up in 2020, will have 2 years left for free agency. So we'll have to figure out his long-term situation. But he hasn't been successful enough yet that he wouldn't be the type of guy you try to lock down. Obviously, it depends on what Washington's got coming up the pipeline, what they want to do. But
sure.
I quite like him as well. I think his value was in the tank 2 years ago, was in the tank last year. Carter Kieboom was another guy that he used to be paired with a little bit, like a AAA, and Kieboom's never been able to make it happen. Garcia has,
no,
thankfully. So
he has, yeah. Hey, are you really listening to this show on the Crapper? If you are, that's fine. Palazzo Podcast will be right back.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly VeriScan.
It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly VeriScan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I didn't hear Bryson Stott in your top 10.
Yeah, I was. That one surprised me, dude. I'm surprised he's in there. I think I'm kind of not feeling him anymore. I know he steals a lot of bags. That's nice. Ooh. So I think you're expecting more from his bat this year and going forward.
Well, so for me, it's he's entering his prime, right? He'll play this year at 27. Is that right? 27. Yeah.
Yep.
15 home runs might be the max for him, but he can do 30 stolen bases, which, you know, again, puts him in that zone for me that I'm safe with, because I'm not expecting like Marcus Semien as a home run hitter, as your second baseman, as your big bat. That's a lot of weight to put into second base, but stolen bases is something that I think is a safer bet for him, but it's the average. We've seen his average jump in the last 3 years. I believe he was 234, 280 in 23. So 22, I think he was 280, 23, he was 234, something like that. And 24,
he was 2022. He was 234, 280, 245.
Thank you. Okay, so that's the big question, right? What is he? What realistically is he as far as his average? Well, I mean, on a great team, I think he can get away with being a 250 type hitter, even possibly sub 250, and still have really good production. But assume some coaching and some better decisions with two strikes lead him to 10 more singles. Something like that, right? That's more on base. That's more pop in the average. The OBP could, you know, you could say, well, that's 10 less walks. Sure, whatever. I think it's safer to think that instead of him ending more innings or getting out more often, he could easily make an improvement on the average at his age and understanding of, you know, him as a major league professional hitter. And again, like, I'm banking on Philly just loading up and being able to push him around like the other teams, right? We have not mentioned... I'm just going to double check. We have not mentioned a team that is just horrific. A player, sorry, on a team that is just horrific. No, we have not. Like Cleveland playoffs, Baltimore playoffs, Texas playoffs or playoffs recently, Dodgers, Arizona playoffs recently, Phillies, Washington is the worst team, I guess. That's the one. But we're again saying we see them on the rise. The Yankees, yeah. Houston, Cincinnati. And Cincinnati as well, a team that, you know, should be on the rise. We're not picking the worst teams in baseball and say this player can, you know, still produce regardless of how their team's doing. It's a very important thing at second base to be part of a competitive team or a good hitting team. So
what about my David Hamilton? What, you got beef with that?
Oh, I don't. Okay. So I roster David Hamilton in a very important to me 30 team league. You jumped me last year like a dick in the to be named later league. And I think you took him in the second round, if I'm not mistaken. And I was thinking fourth round, and I was thinking of jumping in the third round. And then you took him second. And I'm like, well, now I don't care anymore because now I don't have all of the shares of David Hamilton. But in the league that I do have him, where he is important to me, it's super foggy as to what's going to happen because Christian Campbell is allegedly in town now, right? He had that amazing year last year. And what does the organization feel is the future at second base? Will Trevor Story move over again at some point in time? Will Boston make a trade where Story can become a second base? Like, it's just not clear. You see the stolen bases if you're looking on the YouTube right now. You see that stolen base percentage, not stolen base percentage, but stolen base ability is through the roof. He's also not a sleeper, which made him so attractive last year as a guy that could like quietly earn you a lot of value because, and you've ranked him very aggressively.
I have.
Because you're assuming he's going to start wire to wire and then do that for several years. I want him to do that too. I just don't know that the 280 average is safe. The 50 stolen bases that we all think it can come is safe. And if it does happen, does it happen twice? And if it does happen twice, is he with Boston? Because if the longer he's with Boston, I think the slimmer his at-bats and year-over-year opportunity for at-bats will be, which means he needs to move or they need to make a trade where a Campbell type or Campbell or someone else that's in that story trade. Like somebody will need to go because the depth is there to shift him over. And of course he could go to shortstop. I would like him at shortstop also, but yeah. I'm just concerned. So for me, he's at 21 and I do have Campbell above him at 16. And that's because I think the organization is probably higher on Campbell's potential than Hamilton's estimated production that we're giving him. Now, don't get me wrong. I would love him to be second. That'd be so fun. I just don't think that that's reasonable to happen, or a top five reasonable to happen right now, because there's too much crap in his way. And we've seen organizations not think about the fantasy minds out there and take our knowledge that if you just put the guy on base, he will get around, right? He'll create runs for you. He'll make your team better. And if you're concerned about his defense, then yeah, second base is where you put him. But I think he's going to move around to the outfield also. Like, I think Hamilton is on Boston. I just don't know that he's starting and getting 500 at-bats this year until an injury happens to whatever the left fielder, the other Story, or the other second base option they're looking at. I think they're going to need somebody to kind of move out of the way so he's bumped into official starter on the depth chart. But I love it. I just don't.
Yeah, you didn't even mention Vaughn Grissom.
Oh my God. Vaughn Grissom. I think I've got 25 guys all locked in at 33. And he's, because like once you're outside the top 30, they're not starting in a 30 team league, right? Which means they need a lot of things to go right, or they're more likely a different position, or you know, whatever you want to say. Like Orvelas Martinez, I have him kind of penciled in from previous year of having him there. This is the Toronto prospect that got popped last year. Christian Moore is another guy with the Angels. He's pumped into my 33 because I just don't know if they're going to also bring him up really fast, because they've done, you know, they got enough filler veteran guys this year. But like Hamilton is a legit threat and absolutely the type of guy that could win you a week, you know, get you on a big stretch in a roto or in September, assume somebody goes down with Boston. He could all of a sudden, boom, 8 stolen bases in the last 2 weeks or whatever, win you your World Series. Sky's the limit with him. It's just the guarantee of at-bats isn't there. And I'm afraid because I've been burned before.
You should be.
I've been burned before on these guys.
It's bold. It's bold and ridiculous, but I like to have some fun here too. Look, not everyone's going to nail everything 100%, and I'm fine with that, but I really like him, and I just think that he's going to grow. He gets on base. He's an OBP machine. Mm-hmm. He's got power. The only thing will be average. He might not ever be somebody who gives you quality average, but if you can get everything else and he gets regular playing time, I'm really excited about that opportunity. But Boston is a logjam. It's an absolute nightmare. That's one of the biggest problems with the Red Sox coming into spring training 2025. Is there room? Also, they have like six lefties who could start, six left-handed hitters. So Christian Campbell's a righty. You know, maybe they, Vaughn Grissom's a righty, right? I think they want to get some of these. You want to have a lot of lefties in your lineup against right-handed starters, which are the dominant side in MLB, but maybe that goes against him a bit too. We'll see. Let's get to some of our other questions here on the 2025 Fantasy Baseball Dynasty Ranking Second Base Edition. What's our next question?
Okay, I would like someone whose rank you regret. So you're looking now, you're thinking...
David Hamilton. Oh.
Outside your top 10, let's think of somebody that you regret that rank.
Okay, well, I just went down and looked at it. I have a... I got Bryson Stott at 34.
Oh my goodness. So, I wish you had him in a league. So. I'd get him so cheap.
I know, right? I actually drafted him last year, and I loved him. So I think I regret that. I think it's a little way too harsh, and I'm probably going to modify that, and I admit that freely.
Okay. All right, so you've got that right there. So for myself, sorry, I just need to timestamp it. I got all excited and then didn't write it down.
I love it.
I've got Tyler Fitzgerald of San Francisco at 15. I'm under the impression you like Tyler Fitzgerald. Did you have him as a shortstop, as a different position? And again,
I didn't include him in these rankings.
This goes back to the same thing I did with Jazz Chisholm, where all the writing is, now that they've signed Adames, they're moving Fitzgerald over to second base. So I think the potential is there for Fitzgerald to be a top 10, but we have not yet had enough pro at-bats. And that lineup in San Francisco is in transition to some degree from what it finished last year as, right? Fitzgerald's going to move over. You're going to have Adames come in. Where are they going to juggle guys around? Is Ramos for real? You know, what else is going to happen there? I didn't trust the stability yet. And of course they've got Bryce Eldridge, their highly touted first base.
Oh, prospect. Your guy.
Yeah. Now, when's his arrival, and it will his arrival be excellent because he's going to provide a ton of power in the like 4-6 slot, or what are they going to do and how will that affect like long-term? So I have Tyler Fitzgerald ranked at 15. I would love to be able to put him higher, but I can't this year, which pretty well means I'm just not going to get him anywhere in Dynasty. So I regret it for that reason.
That's fine. I'm into Tyler Fitzgerald. Our league's the only place where I really have him. So he's grown on me quite a bit, but I did not include him in second base. But it makes sense what you're saying. You're right. They signed Adames. He's going to play short. So I need to modify, and I'm going to put him in here. I will.
Okay. Who should be in your top 10 that isn't?
Well, obviously, by name alone, Ozzie Albies should be. And there's going to be a bunch of people like, what the hell? No, Ozzie Albies in your top 10? Stupid. There's going to be people, Sync 31 or probably somebody else is going to be pissed about this.
I want Sync 31 to never return, but we always reference him.
I got no Semien in the top 10. I'm done. I think the best is done with Semien. He's still useful, but he's not a top 10 guy to me anymore. We're talking Dynasty here. We're not talking redraft.
Yeah, I think Simeon's fall could be, and I hate the idea of this, but I think it could be very much like some former Blue Jay power hitters in Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion. When you lose the fastball, you're in trouble, and you need that power. And we've seen a decline in the power, and we can see the stolen bases, of course, as you age, makes sense that you might be stealing less depending on, you know, how your body is and all those things. And the move off of shortstop to second base should allegedly help with that, but you're still diving for balls. You're still doing all the things. So it makes sense he's not there. I would like to echo your comments. I also, you know, I think Ozzie Albies should be there, but he's not for me. And when I looked into why, like, you know, who am I going to need? Like when Sync 31 comes at us, I got to be saying, listen, he's only missed time in two of the last six seasons, but are we not always talking about him returning from injury or giving him reasons for not being elite? Could be a combined 50 home run stolen base guy, but he's only done it once in his career. He's only had 40 plus one other season in his career. I can't recommend him in my top 10. And that's
he's in his prime though. He's 20 absolutely. Years old.
And but I can't do it. And that's just based on facts and production. If Ben was here, I'm sure he's top three. But
yes,
and the Braves fan. And that's because he's watching things differently, you know, hard on his sleeve. But it's just that to me, he is a fan. Albies is a fantasy disappointment right now, and maybe he will have a Marcus Semien career resurgence.
We totally admit he could.
Yeah,
he could totally have a super year this year. There's no argument on that.
Yeah, and me. I don't know if his ability to be good is solely based on the lineup around him, where he is, those intricate things. I'm just looking at what I've seen and what I'm thinking about in the future with Atlanta, and the lineup's excellent. But even with excellent lineups, we've seen two elite seasons in six. So, and I shouldn't even say elite. We've seen two excellent seasons in six. I'm not.
He's one of those like alternating year guys, right? Great year, death. That
should
great
mean this year, is death. A year. Yeah, this is a year.
Yeah. For him.
So if it is,
this happens.
If it is, cool. Okay. Who do you think needs a new team to pop inside either your top 10 or just really onto like dynasty relevance? Who needs a new team?
David Hamilton.
Based on the conversation 5 minutes ago, seems like David Hamilton needs a spring training trade.
yeah, right. This is a good question. I thought about this. I still think maybe I'm crazy. I still think there's something there with David Schneider. Maybe I'm a fool, but it seems like they're done with him. I don't know. He might still contribute to Toronto this year, but you know, with Will Wagner is not very healthy, so maybe that will work itself out too. There's some options that could lead to Schneider playing and showing that he still has the chops. I mean, his minor league numbers are awesome. But last year was just god awful. It was just bogus.
Yeah,
I also feel like they never really trust him enough since he got called up a couple years ago. I do feel like there's some. I remember when he first got called up, and it was like, dude, this guy. He showed up and he had like this amazing first week, and then they benched him for like 2 weeks. It seemed on and off, and it was not. That was in 2023. So maybe a fresh start for David Schneider. There's still some hope.
I think that's fair. He was a very slow rise high school drafted guy who went pro and had a really, really good 2023 and got promoted all the way up to MLB. And then whenever he got in the lineup, he did something. It was exciting. I was at a game that he didn't start. He came in at whatever point, fourth, fifth inning, I think had, it was two for three or three for four, drove in runs, you know, played second base. They moved him over to third, did something else, and then took him out of the game. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Let the guy play when he's, look at him. He looks like he should be in Major League Baseball. Look at that mustache.
Beautiful.
He's got the right things going for him in the sense that like he can take a professional at bat. He understands moving a runner over. He does get those things. But what happened last
year? Still a double-digit walk rate.
And what happened last year was Toronto was struggling, and they were like, hey, David Schneider, you know how you were found money last year? Well, now you're going to be a core piece. Go lead off. That's not what he should be doing. He should be in the last third of your lineup, giving you a punch and turning the lineup over, not at the hop, getting on base and turning into a run machine. So he doesn't need to be your 90-run, 70 RBI guy. He could at peak be a 70 RBI guy with 40, 50 runs. But what he's doing is he's getting the next, yeah, he's getting you through to the next higher end type talent guy, showing well that in that same moment, he of course has talent. So I didn't like how he got managed last year, much like David Hamilton. There was opportunity. You could have played him more, of course, but when Toronto did give him more playing time, it was at the top of the lineup and then he was hitting two. And, you know, Bichette was doing terrible. So there were a ton of inning enders around him who were striking out, not getting on base. That also didn't help him. So I agree with that one. I have two potential guys. I don't know if either of them are worth discussing. Michael Massey with KC. He needs a new team because Jonathan India is now there. And they seem to want to constantly not let him just play. So I think it might benefit him to go somewhere else, Colorado. And Nick Gonzalez could really use a new team because I think Nick Gonzalez could be a really good contact guy. Maybe he could be not an Altuve replacement in Houston, but he could be the next sort of guy that you could just put in at second base in Houston. And he would just hit the ball very well, have 60 to 70 runs, RBIs each, 15, 20 home runs. He's not going to steal a bunch of bases unless you want him to be that guy as the manager of the team, not the fantasy manager. But right now, to me, Gonzalez is a lot like a bunch of other Pittsburgh players where they're getting other veterans that keep getting thrown in and around them, but they're not wily veterans with track records. They're Connor Joes. They're Rowdy Tellez. They're players who have had moments, not players who have had careers. And until they make that switch and sign, you know, Andrew McCutchen aside, who was their, you know, own guy, the rest of the players around them are those kind of blip guys. So they need to bring in a couple of veterans to allow a Nick Gonzalez to hopefully become like a very good professional. And if not, let's see what he could do on another team. That's where I am on old Nicky G.
There's a one other guy too. I think Marco Luciano needs a new team. See if he can get a shot. Maybe it's over.
That's a good one.
Because now that Adames is there, it's like, forget it. They're like, Fitzgerald jumped the line. Adames takes control in San Francisco. Marco Luciano needs an opportunity, but maybe he's so bad that that's the point. He just can't get the opportunity because he's not good enough. It seems like there's still something there, in my opinion.
I agree. So we're talking about these veteran guys. What's a prospect you want?
Man, I don't have any shares, I believe, of Brooks Lee, and I wish I did.
Yeah. Yeah, Brooks Lee is an interesting one. Edward Julian blocking him.
I got all the shares in the world of him.
Yeah. Luke Kuechel. There's other guys that could be in and around that. But yeah, those Minnesota guys all ended up in my 33 range because, I mean, someone's going to go to short, which I think is Lee.
Yes.
But, you know, Julian at second base, I forget who it was that was talking about how they didn't, I think it was Ben actually, who said they didn't like what he saw out of Minnesota dealing with Julian in the second half last year and how it seemed like he was on the downslope, but still at that point you're taking at bats for him. So I will say that I'll take a cop out one here. Obviously I want Hyesung Kim. If I can get him in some of my dynasty drafts, I according to you, I'm going to be jumping the gun. So maybe I got a shot at him in at least one of them, but probably not. He would be a good one. I do like my Asian imports. just because there's nothing more fun than hoping somebody can just transition their numbers from one league to the next. Christian Moore is another obvious one who I think could be an MLB regular. It would be fun to see that. Nick York is a guy who I would like to see, but that's pushing Nick Gonzalez. That Nick York, for everybody, was former Boston Red Sox. He got moved out and went to Pittsburgh last year in a less exciting trade. I can't remember exactly what it was now, but I remember seeing the name and be like, huh, you would have thought the value is higher. But, you know, in fantasy, we lock in when they get drafted. And then they either do better or they stay where they originally are until other guys are able to take over for them. So I've got two questions left here.
Okay.
Give me an old guy you think has 1 to 2 years left, whether it's this year or next year. Who do you think could be a plug-in for Dynasty? Or this is a great one for the redrafters out there.
Old. What's the definition of old?
30 plus.
Does Josh Rojas qualify as old?
Yeah, definitely. Isn't Rojas 30? No, how old is Rojas? Is he 33?
Like, he's at most. Maybe he's younger than that.
I was just going to say, I accidentally deleted the age of everybody when I was doing this today, and I didn't realize it.
He's going to be 31 in June, yeah, so he barely qualifies.
But he does.
But that's like not old enough. There's got to be someone older than that I could really go and say, you know, I'm not a fan anymore, but there could be one good season left there. I think maybe Jeff McNeil, maybe, depending if there's playing time. He's getting older. I've always loved his bats. He had 2 years ago, he hit 326, guys.
Yeah, I know. And he's
like a legitimate guy. 326. Yeah, he is. So I'm hoping Jeff McNeil can get involved with this offense and all the people that got in this lineup this year. That's just the only question. I don't know where he fits in at this point in his career or not.
Okay. I've got two guys. They're both 28, which is a cheat, but there was no other way that I could bring them up, okay? Because we've talked about the other older second
base. I know who you're doing.
What if I told you they're both on the same team?
Oh, even better. They're both Rockies?
Yes, they are.
Coors.
Keston Hiura, who signed a minor league deal, is one guy.
Oh, no.
Forgotten, right? But he's Mr. Triple A. So it's super frustrating because he's never gone down and just bottomed out. He's always been producing. So he comes up to MLB. Of course, when he came up, whenever it was, 19, I think maybe was when he debuted, he was very good. Then he struggled 2020, whatever. Things could have happened during that period of time that affected him long term, and we're still seeing that right now. But in AAA, he's always been able to get it together and bounced around. Last year, I forget where he was, but he's now in Colorado.
My Bozo Tigers. He got a tiny, tiny taste, and it was nothing. Okay. It was pointless.
I wish that was the weekend that we saw him play the Dodgers. So I could have seen Hiura, Ohtani, and Honeywell. That's like
what a trifecta. Dream that would have been.
but the other guy, and the more important one here, is Thairo Estrada, now with Colorado,
there
former of the Giants. That's the one that everybody is going to get hyped up. And I'm trying so hard to tell everybody, understand, like, the reason that people care about him, and this is to the credit of Fantrax. They put on his player page after he signed that, which I think they just copied straight off of whatever it was that I first read about him, MLBTradeRumors.com probably. Estrada had elite career numbers in Coors, of course, right? Why wouldn't you? So the Rockies were like, well, why don't we get this guy who can't play anywhere else in the NL West and we'll put him in our ballpark for half the games because he seems to be a Hall of Famer here. But the numbers have all gone in the wrong direction. Like everything is going the wrong way for him. And he's a very old 28, right? He's going into his fifth full pro season, which should mean you are exactly where you are, right? You came in 22 to 24 to start off, and now you're in your late 20s. That's him playing this year, I believe, all year. I think he'll be 28. He's about to turn 29.
Actually, his birthday is... Right in 10
yeah,
days.
Yeah, so he's about to turn 29. Okay, well, that makes him even older. So this falls
further. It does.
In. So I can see two things happening for Estrada here. Of course, he bottoms out and he's gone, right? And he's headed to KBO next year. Or he really, really takes off with the Rockies because he's able to do it in the home park and he is league average on the road, which we have seen before with players as elite, air quotes, as DJ LeMahieu and batting title champion Justin Morneau, who were able to make it happen in Coors when things seemed to not be to their liking anymore around the rest of Major League Baseball. If he has a good year this year, maybe he will sign an extension for one or two more years, which could then make his dynasty stock, of course, seemingly go up. I have picked him up in one league. I have Nick Gonzalez in one league. This is the to be named later. I've got Nick Gonzalez and Thairo Estrada both at second base. And I'm looking to draft a second baseman with my one of my first two picks, which isn't because I want him. It's because I want that talent pool to then be able to, you know, make trades and distribute. But I think somebody else in your league is going to be like, oh yeah, Estrada is going to be good. And somebody else in your league probably hasn't caught on to the fact that he got that on his player page on your various fantasy site. But he's somebody that I would like to see have one or two more good years. But I think if it's outside of Coors, I think the rest of baseball's kind of sorted him out. So that's the guy. Okay. I understand he wasn't the right age, but I asked the question so I can cheat on
it. It was coming up. I knew it was
coming up. So the last one is, if only they could stay healthy. Who's the guy?
Oh, boy. Maybe it's Ozzy Albies, but let's talk about somebody else.
But he hasn't been hurt enough. That's why I said it. He's been hurt in two of the last six seasons. That's not often injured. That's two injuries or a combination of seasons where he had two. So he does not qualify. There's no excuses for Ozzy Albies not being good.
There's no excuses. Wow. Really hitting him hard. Painful. I'd like to see Jonathan Aranda be a little bit more healthier.
Okay.
See if we can get some more bats for him. I really like his bat, but it kind of seems like that's not going to happen. That ship may have already sailed. And depending what league you play in, he might be more first base, corner, infield oriented, but he is second base eligible in certain situations. So that's why I included him on my list. And I was like, I really was hoping that he could get on the field more often, but maybe it's not just the injuries. He just sucks. I admit that freely. Also, I think Brandon Lau, would love to see Brandon Lau stay healthy a lot more.
Yeah, Lau was the guy that I had. I'm just trying to figure out where I've got him back in my rankings because out of frustration, put him back. And I know I've got a note on him.
Oh, I put him way back.
Not enough runs and RBIs. Yeah, so he's under as not enough runs and RBIs to be a top 20 and not healthy. So there you go. He is in my block of 33 guys, which also, for anyone curious, is where Toronto's future second baseman, Gold Glove winning second baseman, I guess he's their current guy, but you know what I'm saying. Their new second baseman, yeah. Andrés Giménez, that's where he is. I heard you guys talking about him on the show last week. I think excellent analysis on it. He is an excellent second baseman. He costs too much for the Major League Baseball team he was on, so they went another avenue with it. They also have a ton of talent that they're going to be able to bring in at league minimum and save that money to spend elsewhere on a, you know, Bieber coming back for the extra year, all those kind of things that they're doing. So it wasn't a fit in Cleveland anymore, but in Toronto, he's not going to be part of what the Blue Jays needed, which was run-producing players. They got a defensive second baseman who has had an excellent season once. So.
There's two quick names I wanted to mention before we go here. Otto Lopez, any interest in him?
Yeah, so I've got Lopez here, and he is very much a guy that I want to see. So spring training, I understand that some people do and some people do not care about spring training. This is an interesting one for Otto Lopez. So I just, there we go, can't find, with Miami here. Lopez, I need to know where Miami's thinking he is. Is he a guy who's going to play every day? Is he a guy who's going to get put in the fifth, sixth inning so he can get a couple at bats? Like, are we going to see 15 at most at bats a week, or are we going to see 24? That's huge. That's the difference. Because if we see 15 and somebody gets on first and he then comes in, his stolen bases are going to be really good if that's happening.
Yeah.
But if he is able to do what he has not been good at, which is walking, if he could just get better, what's the percentage? 5.8% walk to the 17.3K.
Yeah.
He's not striking out at a horrific level, but he also doesn't have the power to justify a lot of strikeouts, and he's not walking. So to me, that's an incomplete player in a position where we are talking about them being able to do something in all your categories. So.
And then the most heralded coming off a season loss, Ronnie Mauricio, where are you at with him?
Buried. Like he's in that 30, all right. Yeah, he's in my 33 rank. So that's again, that's all my bench type guys that I'd like to see. Jose Caballero, who's also a Tampa Bay shortstop, whatever fixture there.
Jose Caballero, yeah.
He's also in there where people like him, but I mean, what are we really getting? Washington's got a guy that I have a note on here. I wish I had the rest of the scouting information. Darren Baker of Washington. Speed and average,
yes,
but no power.
That's it. Nothing else. Yeah. That's it. So. Yeah, he's a Dusty's son, for the record. People don't know.
Oh, that's why I've got the note. That's right. Okay.
Yeah, but he was actually, I think he was drafted fairly high in the draft he came out in a couple years ago. But you're right. There's just nothing else there. We'd have to see it to believe it. But we're in a new league, too. It's one thing to remember in fantasy as we close out this year's 2025 Fantasy Baseball Dynasty Rankings for second base. The MLB rule changes a couple years ago. There's more contact. I used to be so locked in on a walk rate being do or die. I've loosened my restrictions on that a little bit, where I'm a little more willing to take a guy who doesn't walk as much because contact is more involved now than it was pre-rule changes. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. I'm excited about this position. I love second base. It's always been one of my personal favorites on the diamond in baseball. I played it when I was a kid. It was fun. Love turning two. Love catching that relay and then not throwing it hard enough to get somebody at home. So we'd never be able to do that ever.
So. Or just inaccurate.
But
I've got two guys left.
Oh, yeah.
Very quickly. Just two comments on two players.
Go.
Two Rule 5 picks. Christian Caro, who went to Atlanta, was their second round pick. And Gage Workman, former Detroit Tiger, who went to the Cubs. These are two guys who, for dynasty purposes, should be rostered. So perhaps your final pick, if they're floating out there, Workman would have been drafted. I think he was 2020 draft. So he's probably rostered in your deeper leagues. But you never know. And the reason why is that with Rule 5 guys, you have no idea what the assignment's going to be from the team that picks them. I think there's Bowman, who went with Cincinnati in the Rule 5. He looks like he looks like he's blocked now with Lux there. But again, that's another Rule 5 guy. Just for dynasty purposes, you have to look at Rule 5 picks and see where they might fit in. The Angels got a pitcher who I think could slot in, a lefty pitcher, which in any other organization would be a good thing. But for some reason, the Angels currently have four lefties that look like they could make their bullpen. So see where these guys fit in. See where Carroll and Workman fit in within your league structure and watch what's going on in spring training. They might be worth picking up too. It's fun to say watch spring training because it's coming soon.
That's right. Coming soon. Ooh,
or it's a beautiful. It's on.
It is. Sunshine-filled day in Arizona or Florida. So there you go. Second base in the books. Thanks for being here. Palazzo Podcast, two L's.
Utah.
Two Z's. Robbie Baseball, myself, Michael Govier, doing our thing. Check out the other episodes. There's a playlist on our YouTube. It has every episode for every position we've done. I think we only have a few left. Shortstop, outfield.
That's shortstop, it. Outfield.
Or relief pitching.
Which I'll talk to you about after this one.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for being here. Subscribe to the YouTube, please. 1,000 subscribers. Please, please, please.
The power of prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. It's strong and it's sudden, and it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.